Well, welcome to another episode of On the Couch with myself, Henry Jennings, from Marcus Today. And today, I am actually delighted to be joined once again, an old friend from this podcast series, Dr. Francis Vadim from Vulcan Energy, VUL being the stock code there. Francis is a battery and materials and renewable energy industry executive. He is so well credentialed, it's not funny. He's bilingual, he's got a PhD. He's got a BSc in geology and an MBA in renewable energy, and he is currently the executive chair of Vulcan Energy, which has a project in Germany, which I'm sure many will have heard about. So really happy to get Francis back on the show today. There's lots to talk about, lots of updates to come. So Francis, welcome.
Thanks, Henry. Good to be back, and thanks so much for having me on.
Oh, it's always a pleasure. You're an old friend of the program, so really nice to have you back on. Just as usual, though, it is general advice only, so please do your own research. Contact your own financial advisor regarding any of the thoughts, ideas, or insights in this podcast. All right, Francis, now not everybody will know the Vulcan Energy story, so maybe you could just give us a quick sort of Vulcan Energy in a nutshell kind of recap.
Sure, happy to. So Vulcan Energy is currently a renewable energy producer, so we're producing baseload renewable power from our geothermal brine operations in southwest Germany, bordering France. It's in the Upper Rhine Valley region, south of Frankfurt. And what we're doing as part of our phase one development, what we're hopefully going to be starting to build very soon, is an integrated lithium and renewable energy operation, which will produce lithium with a net zero carbon footprint, hence the name, the Zero Carbon Lithium Project. And how we do this is we do more of what we're currently doing. So we'll be building more geothermal, hot brine production, producing renewable heat and power from that brine. And then before we reinject that brine back into the deep underground reservoir from which it comes, we'll take the lithium salts out of the brine. And we've been piloting this process for over 3 years now. And now we're ready to build a commercial project. So we'll take the lithium salts out of the brine, using a very sustainable method called adsorption type direct lithium extraction, to give it its technical term. The process is driven predominantly by heat, and our heat comes from the waste heat from the geothermal plant, and that reduces cost and carbon footprint as well. And then we convert that into a battery grade product, and we'll be supplying really the who's who in the European automotive market, so Stellantis, Volkswagen, Renault, also LG and Umicore as well. So hopefully we'll have our zero carbon lithium in European electric vehicles in the latter half of the decade when we're fully up and running.
And Francis, why Germany? Is Germany just got the right geology, or is it the right political climate, or is it just, you know, there's just unique aspect to where you are on the Upper Rhine?
Well, the Upper Rhine is very special. So it's Europe's largest lithium resource. So there's a very big lithium brine reservoir. It's also a geothermal reservoir at depth, and it has the potential really to supply much of Europe, if not all of Europe's lithium needs. So it also has a unique brine chemistry, which means it works really well with this type of extraction methodology. So it is that that geology, if you like, that's really driving it. But you mentioned it being a favorable destination, you know, politically as well. That is also a factor. There's a very strong push. I mean, in Europe in general, there's a very strong push to onshoring critical raw materials production for batteries for electric vehicles. There's a very strong awareness now that Europe doesn't want to be reliant on China for things like lithium. So that means that there's been a wave of new policies coming into effect across Europe. And there's increasing amounts of favorable policies and also state aid as well, which is coming into effect. Really to level the playing field with other areas of the world where this is happening as well.
Now, Francis, I suspect when we last spoke, the world was massively in love with lithium. We had a huge boom in the price of lithium up till November 2022, where I think it peaked. But it's that love affair has waned, hasn't it? I think it's fair to say the price of lithium is well and truly down, and we don't seem to have the same momentum in electric vehicle sales that we've seen. Only the other day we've had Tesla reporting that they're going to be cutting 10% of their workforce. Has the love affair waned? Is this an issue going forward, or is your project really going to, I guess, target the latter half of the decade and then tap into that demand, which will come back again?
Well, I mean, it's. I think what we're seeing is very short-term yo-yoing of the lithium pricing, and that's caused really by the just dramatic growth in a very small market. Lithium is still a very small market, just over 1 million tons of, you know, supply demand per annum. You know, it was 100,000 tons a few years ago. It's grown 10x in the space of a few years. So, you know, we've had 30% compound annual growth rates in EVs and in lithium as well over the last few years. I don't know of any market that's really growing that quickly, and it will continue to grow. I've seen around about 15% compound annual growth rate to 2035. So once again, that's a very strong growth rate. I don't know many other markets in any sector in the world which are growing that quickly. But what that means is every time there's new supply coming in or new demand coming in, you can see these short-term imbalances. And that's why we saw a very dramatic rise. I mean, when I first started Vulcan, I think the price was about 8,000 US a ton. It went up to 80,000 in 2021. It's back down to sort of probably 13, 14,000, depending. I mean, obviously, there's very many different products out there and different prices, but probably thereabouts. So there's a really dramatic yo-yoing effect. But what we've done strategically is we've locked in you know, long-term offtake pricing with our main offtakers, including those automakers that I mentioned. So it gives us stability on pricing, it gives the banks more comfort to finance this project. And it's good for our customers, and it's good for their customers as well. It's good for EV customers as well to have that long-term stability. So that somewhat insulates us from these pricing shocks. If the global spot lithium price went to zero, we'd still be producing a profit with our offtake mechanisms. We're also somewhat insulated because when we build a project, we should have a very low cost of production. And that's because we're using that waste heat to drive the process. So low cost of production on the one hand, offtakes baked in on the other hand, we're pretty insulated from that. I think in the lithium market in general, you'll continue to see these dramatic yo-yos of pricing in the years to come as the lithium market grows, continues to grow. As it matures, hopefully the yo-yos will get less dramatic. As it grows.
I have to say, looking at some of the more mature metals at the moment, they can be quite dramatic. We've seen from the London Metal Exchange some moves there to ban Russian metal, the new metal, as they call it. So that's produced some interesting volatility as well. So there's no guarantee, I guess, that we're going to get less volatility going forward. Let's turn our attention now to Vulcan. Now, what you're doing in terms of your project seems to me, I'm no engineer and I'm no expert, obviously, but it seems to me quite a technically challenging thing to not only get the energy out of the brine, the geothermal energy, but also to get the lithium out as well. Is it as challenging as I suspect it is, or are you going to tell me that I'm talking tosh?
I would never tell you that you're talking tosh, but I'm a geologist. By background, but I defer to the chemical engineers in our company here who have built, you know, very large, very complex projects, including in the LNG industry, which is sort of, you know, orders of magnitude greater complexity and capital intensity. And they tell me it's very simple. Essentially, what we're doing here is we're bolting together existing processes that are used commercially around the world already and have been so for decades. So at the front end, the geothermal energy production, they're very, very simple plants. You know, for the heat production, you're just talking a heat exchanger. So very simple sort of pots and pans. For the lithium extraction, I mean, to simplify it, it's just water treatment using an adsorbent. So water treatment of this nature happens a lot around the world. But in the lithium industry, this particular type of adsorbent type direct lithium extraction using an aluminate-based resin has been commercially happening since the 90s, so since 1996. So it's nearly 30 years old commercially. This method makes up 10% of global lithium production today. And then on the back end, to produce lithium hydroxide, we're using chloralkali cells, essentially of the same type which have been used for over 100 years. Instead of sodium chloride, we're using lithium chloride. But same process essentially. So very, very vanilla technology, just bolted together to make it net zero carbon.
You make it sound so easy, Francis.
It's not that easy, but
Now the other day you announced some significant process with your extraction optimization plant, the LEOP. Maybe you could run through that announcement that you made the other day and the implications, I guess, the stepping stone that gives you into production.
Sure. So we've spent the last 3 years piloting our lithium extraction process. So we've had two pilot plants operational for lithium extraction at our geothermal plant. That's given us all the information we need essentially to put together an engineering study, which is a Class 2 estimate, which we're taking to the bank for the financing. So the piloting is done. But what we've done is we've also built, and this is really based on experience of executives in our team who've worked for companies like Northvolt. At Northvolt, obviously they're building big battery gigafactories in Europe. They found it very useful to start off with a sort of commercial demo first, in which to train the operators before they were let loose on the full commercial size plant. So that's what LEOP is, Lithium Extraction Optimization Plant. We've spent about 40 million euro building this plant, and it will effectively operate as a training facility for our production team over the next sort of 2.5 years whilst we're building the commercial facility. It will also do other things, so we can continue to optimize the process, the operating parameters. So hopefully we'll get some wins there, and the commercial production will be more efficient. So we'll get some learnings there, which I think will be very, very valuable. And we'll also be producing the product for our customers to start to qualify as well. So it's got a number of different purposes, but the training facility and the learnings is the main one. And that we had the opening sort of late last year. We've been commissioning it since then, and we had the first official start of production, producing lithium chloride from our announcement last week. So very important step forward. Just one final point on that. It is the first lithium chemical, lithium salt, that's been fully domestically produced in Europe, which I think is quite amazing. So fully produced from the ground to that, chemical product. So it's a real milestone for Europe's critical raw materials independence, if you like. But the next step is obviously to operate it and then build a commercial facility.
So what's the sort of timing, I guess, on the commercial facility, and what's the cost involved?
So I mean, we're targeting first production sort of back end of 2026. Now, there's always a risk that will slip because effectively the clock starts ticking when we finished our financing, and it's our financing that we're mainly focused at the moment. So that comes down to the cost. The CapEx is circa 1.4 billion euro for phase one. That's for a 24,000 ton per annum lithium hydroxide operation and a reasonably substantial renewable energy operation as well. And that's fully integrated from the upstream, the geothermal parts, the lithium extraction parts, and the lithium conversion parts. So essentially, it'll take about 2.5 years to build the project once we've completed the financing. We may be able to get some sort of optimizations on that timeline, but that's effectively how long it's going to take to build. And then we'll scale up from there, hopefully building future phases, because we see really sort of a copy-paste approach across the Upper Rhine Valley beyond phase one. So that financing is our main focus now for the coming months.
And I know this is a dumb question, but is the appetite for financing and funding these sorts of projects there in Europe?
Yep, very strong in Europe and internationally. So we have conducted a market sounding for the debt financing, and we saw extremely strong demand from commercial and development banks to fund us. So I think that the debt side, I mean, it's a process, but there's definitely a very, very strong appetite there. We need to raise about 65% of that amount in debt and 35% in equity. We are in discussions with strategic investors, corporates really, and some infrastructure funds as well to fund the equity part. Really good appetite there also. So some from the oil and gas space, some from the chemical space, some from the offtaker space. So yeah, I think the demand there is very strong, but obviously it's a big ticket. So there's a process there to be played out, which will happen over the coming months.
And I guess in Australia, we've seen what happens to Liontown in terms of Kathleen Valley and the funding they had in place there with the banking syndicate, where you move the lithium price significantly, or one analyst downgrades their lithium forecast, and suddenly it's all bets are off. So I guess it's a bit of a tricky balancing act at the moment, and it's I guess it's all down to appetite and risk appetite from these institutions.
That's great. And I think that's where our pricing mechanisms with our offtakes is really important, and our low cost of production is important as well. So hard rock will generally be the highest cost production. It's quick, and I started my lithium career in hard rock lithium. It's quick to get into production. That's the main advantage of it. But it is the highest cost non-integrated hard rock production. Whereas brines, once you built it, it is very low cost. So that's the advantage we have financing a project like this, that low cost of production. And we also see very strong support in the EU. We've had an indication of support of up to 500 million euro on the debt financing part from the European Investment Bank. That's a very strong signal for others as well. So we announced that a few weeks ago. We've seen strong support from export credit agencies in France, Italy, Canada, Australia as well, actually. So I think a lot of our debt will be ECA covered, which makes it cheaper debt as well. So there's a lot of support, which I think gives us strong tailwinds going to this financing.
Now, you're only a sort of $500 million market cap. Is this doable for a company of your size? I know you've obviously been bigger during the lithium boom, and even the reaction the other day to this announcement was pretty staggering. I think you're up 25% in the space of a couple of days, which was very impressive. Clearly, the market loved the announcement. But for a $500 million company, is it just a little bit too ambitious? And do you need a big brother in there as well?
Well, I think we're speaking to the big brother at the moment. So, it's a big project. I think we've got a fantastic team. I mean, we've got nearly 400 people in the company, a lot of which, have worked for very good, very significant oil and gas and chemicals companies and battery companies. So, very, very experienced at building projects of this nature. But I think it is advantageous strategically to partner up with a bigger brother for phase one at least, and then perhaps to grow together across the Upper Rhine Valley with further phases as well. So we are in discussions there, and I think that it also helps with the debt financing as well. I think banks derive comfort from seeing more established companies coming in on the equity side as well. So that's our plan. Let's see if we can pull it off.
I'm sure you will. I have to say, I've got every confidence in you, Francis. You've certainly have pulled it off so far, and to get where you've got. You spend a lot of time in Germany, I'd imagine, at the moment, or are you back based in Perth?
Well, my family lives in Perth, but I spend a lot of my time on the road, particularly in Europe. So yeah, probably about a third in Europe, two-thirds Australia at the moment. Actually, probably more like half and half last few months. But yeah, it's a balance.
Yeah, I bet it is. It can't be easy with a young family spending all that time overseas. Now, just finally, I guess, as far as the market goes, we had that really extraordinary, it was pretty extraordinary, 25% gain in a couple of days. What should we be expecting this year? What's the timeline look like for the rest of the year? Is it really just all about funding, and that's going to happen at some stage, or is there other things that we should be looking at in terms of this optimization plant that you have running?
Well, we'll have more updates from the optimization plant. We also have the downstream version of that, which we've just done what we call in Germany the Riftfest, so the topping out ceremony. So that'll be getting up and running by mid-year. So that'll be producing the final battery grade product. So there'll be news flow there as well. I think the main feedback I'm getting from investors is the main sort of handbrake on us sort of valuation wise is the phase one financing. So I think that's the main thing to look forward to, if you like. If we're successful there, hopefully we will be. I think there'll be updates along the way on that. So particularly on the equity side, I think when we hopefully can announce something binding there on the equity side. It won't just be one announcement at the end of the year. I think we'll be providing our investors with updates throughout the year on that front. I think there's some other things as well. So we are looking at financing further phases and creative ways of doing that with other partners as well. We are in discussions there as well. And I think there's real opportunities to reduce CapEx on future phases. The guys are working on some clever things there. So that's and that's for the geothermal and the lithium. That's something to look out for as well. And then I think we have some upsides as well. So we are applying for quite chunky public funding, in most cases grant funding, to be a part of our phase one financing mix. Success is not guaranteed, but we're definitely seeing positive signs there. So that could be something on the upside, and that's not factored into our base case for financing. So that's all ahead of us, hopefully.
I guess one of the questions that investors always want answered is how much cash you've got in the bank to support the operation between now and when you do get funding, etc. How's that looking at the moment?
Yeah, cash is looking good. I mean, we haven't put out our March quarterly numbers yet, but we had about 75 million in the bank as of 31 December. We are still spending. I mean, we've been spending on sort of preparatory CapEx items, if you like, so we can hit the ground running when we start building the project and once financing is done. So we're sort of confidently progressing on that front with the expectation that we'll get financing done soon. So cash will run down, but yeah, I think we've got a solid plan to get to financing and keep cash intact.
I did see a piece from I think it was Canaccord Genuity that they put out the other day, which had a pretty impressive price target on it. If things pan out, I don't know whether you've seen that, but I'm sure you have. Sure, they sent it to you for checking, but yeah, it looks very impressive if everything works out, Francis. That's sure to say.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's going to be a very transformative year for us. I mean, the financing really is the big piece. It's a lot of work, but I think if we can pull that off and we can show investors that we can do it, then yeah, it'll be a major handbrake taken off the company, I think, and then we can look at expanding with future phases as well. Also to note, I mean, once the financing is done, we'll start building this. We'll start building the commercial phase one, and our execution team is ready to go. We are execution ready. So I think that'll be another, you know, breaking ground on some of these sites will be a big psychological point for us as a company as well.
I guess this is a question that comes up a lot at the moment in terms of construction, etc. Are there the people on the ground that can actually build it? Are there enough people that can do this? Because resources, in terms of human resources, seem to be quite scarce. And I guess this is a relatively specialized thing to build. Is it easy to get the workforce to do this?
Well, I think we're very lucky. We have a very strong corporate message. You know, the mission is decarbonization, and I think that resonates with a lot of people. So that's enabled us to recruit some really outstanding individuals who make up our team now, including from very large, you know, chemicals companies like BASF. So we had BASF's VP of battery materials join us recently. Our CEO is ex-Northvolt. Obviously, a lot of experience there, reindustrializing Europe and building battery gigafactories and cathode factories. We've got really strong experience from the oil and gas industry. Same thing, you know, spending very strong careers in the oil and gas industry, but wanting to give back and do something good for the planet and really build a renewable energy and decarbonization project. So that's a very powerful recruiting tool, it's served us very well. But we're also in a part of Europe which is full of engineers and has a very large chemicals industry. You know, Ludwigshafen is just up the road. It's the biggest chemical park in Europe. So there's a lot of industrial experience, and the Germans and the French are very, very good engineers. So we have a strong workforce who can build this.
Well, congratulations, Francis, and coming this far, because I think it's an astonishing achievement. And good luck with the future. I'm sure 2024 is going to be a transformative year. Good luck with the funding. I'm sure we're going to hear a lot more from Vulcan Energy going forward. And thank you so much for spending the time with us today.
Thanks very much, Henry. So far, so good. We'll keep pushing, and thanks very much for having me on.
It's our pleasure.